Well, the reading for today's sermon is Matthew 13, verses 47 to 50. We'll be looking today at the parable of the net. The parable of the net. Chapter 13, verses 47 to 50. Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Amen. So today we're looking at the parable of the net. And not only did Jesus speak this parable to us, he also gave us the interpretation of it. How wonderful for us is that? So I just want to begin by briefly looking at the parable itself first. We'll look through it verse by verse. So it opens up firstly by saying, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net." Now, as we've seen before, Jesus is likening the kingdom of heaven to something. And that is what a parable is. It's likening a spiritual truth to something. And here, Jesus is likening the kingdom of heaven to a net. Now, he continues on to say in verse 47 that he likens this net that was cast into the sea. Now, we read in the scriptures that the disciples whom Jesus chose were fishermen. They were fishermen when Jesus called them to follow him, and they were also fishing when he appeared to them the third time after his resurrection. And we read a lovely account of this in John chapter 21, which, if you could turn with me, chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. We read here, "When the Lord showed himself alive to the disciples the third time after he rose from the dead," it says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, 'I go a-fishing.' They say unto him, 'We also go with thee.' They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, 'Children, have ye any meat?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said unto them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find.' They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. How wonderful is that? What a lovely experience that must have been for them, to see the Lord there. And he ate with them. So we read the third time there, Jesus showed himself to the disciples. And if you notice there, in that passage, they caught nothing. Of course, they were fishermen. They were fishing. But when Jesus told them to cast the net on the right side of the ship, then that net was full of great fishes. So we see that the parable that Jesus spoke to them of, which we're looking at this morning, the parable of the net, would be very relatable to the disciples being fishermen. So Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to a net that was cast into the sea. Then in the parable, Jesus says of this net, he says that it gathered of every kind. It gathered of every kind of living sea creature. Now, in Leviticus chapter 11, we read of living things which are in the waters. And we read there what the children of Israel were to eat and were not to eat. I just want to read this passage, verses 9 to 12 of Leviticus 11. He says, These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that hath not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you. So we see, there were living things in the waters, which the Lord commanded the children of Israel shall and shall not eat. Now, let's continue to look at the parable, and I want you to notice something related to this. Verse 48, then the Lord says of the net, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down. Now just notice three basic points here. The net was full. It was full of every kind of living sea creature. Secondly, they drew to shore. And of course, he'd do so dragging the net. And thirdly, they sat down. And then in verse 48, we read, and gathered the good into vessels. So the living sea creatures in the net that are good, in other words, that the children of Israel were commanded shall eat, were gathered into vessels. But then the parable closes saying, but cast the bad away. So the living sea creatures in the net that are bad, in other words, that the children of Israel were commanded shall not eat, were cast away. So what is Jesus teaching us? Well, as we've said, he gives us the interpretation of the parable, but of course, the more we look into the parable, the more we discover is in there. Now, let's now come then to the understanding of this parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. The net symbolizes the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. That is the net. So, let's understand what the gospel of the kingdom is. The gospel of the kingdom is the glad tidings that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, shall come in glory with the kingdom of God. He'll come in glory with the kingdom of God. Satan shall be bound and cast into the bottomless pit. We shall be delivered from him. And the kingdoms of this world, Revelation says, shall become the kingdoms of Christ. This is the gospel of the kingdom. And he shall reign, and Zechariah tells us, and be king over all the earth. And the prophet Isaiah prophesied the gospel of the kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, he firstly opens up by speaking of Christ's first coming. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." When was the child born? When Jesus was born of Mary. When was the son given? At the cross. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Christ Jesus came the first time from heaven to earth and was born of Mary. He came into the world to save sinners. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose again the third day. And the scripture tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Do you believe that this morning? Christ died for our sins. That means we're bad and we need a saviour. He was buried. His death was absolute. He was buried. Buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And he raised from the dead the third day. There is power and love. Jesus rose. He's alive. And so that's the first part of what Isaiah spoke of. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." But then Isaiah, in the same breath, goes on to speak of Christ's second coming in verses 6 to 7. And he says this, when Jesus comes again, he says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is the gospel of the kingdom. Glad tidings indeed. The glad tidings that Jesus shall come in glory with the kingdom of God and shall reign and be king over all the earth. And then, as we read in the book of Psalms, will those scriptures be fully fulfilled? Let all the earth praise him. Let all the earth worship the Lord. The gospel of the kingdom. Are you ready for that kingdom? Jesus said to the Pharisees that the prostitutes go in before they do, because they came to Jesus in repentance. They turned from their sins. But the Pharisees, who thought they were good, they were at the back. Come to Jesus. If there's someone here who doesn't know him. So that's the gospel of the kingdom. Now, when shall that kingdom come? Jesus told us that when we see certain things, which he spoke of, when we see those things come to pass, we are to know that the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what he said. I'd just like to read a passage in Matthew 24. Would you turn with me? Matthew 24, verses 4 to 14. These are the things that when we see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew 24, from verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This gospel of the kingdom is going to go out. And when it does, and it's witnessed to all the nations, then the end will come. We see these things, don't we, in our times? Russia with Ukraine. Kingdom against kingdom. Wars and rumours of wars. Pestilences, that's the coronavirus. We've seen these things come multiple times. There's been an earthquake recently. And we read of earthquakes here. These are the beginning of sorrows. Sorrows speaks of birth pangs. As a woman with child, she has birth pangs. And then they ease off. And then those birth pangs come again slightly more. And then they ease off. And then they come stronger still, and then they ease off, until eventually the baby is born, until eventually Jesus comes, and the kingdom of God is established on the earth. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This is the net, brethren, the gospel of the kingdom. And it was cast into the sea, was the net. The net was cast into the sea. Let's just look at two things here. Cast. It was cast. That's the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus preached it. For instance, in Mark 1:14-15. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Just notice two things. Firstly, what Jesus preached. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Secondly, what was Jesus saying? And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent. Believe the gospel. Let's just look at that. The time is fulfilled, Jesus says. This is the time prophesied of in the scriptures in which Jesus should come into the world to save sinners. And there he was, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The time is fulfilled. He's come. But then we shift again onto the second coming. And we read, and the kingdom of God is at hand. It's ready any moment to break in to world history and to make an impact, the biggest impact that will have ever been made. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And that is our response. Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the dead. And so we see the net was cast. It was the gospel of the kingdom was preached. And then secondly, where is it cast? It's cast into the sea. And the sea into which the net was cast is Gentiles. In other words, non-Jews. That's us. Non-Jews. Pardon me if there's any here that are Jews. But this is speaking of the Gentiles. We're told in Revelation 17:15 that the waters are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And again, Psalm 65:7, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. The sea. The net was cast into the sea. This is the preaching of the kingdom of God to the Gentiles, to the nations, to the people. And the church did such in the book of Acts. We read the early history of the church. And again, Jesus said, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And then we read this in verse 47. Speaking of this net that it gathered of every kind. It gathered of every kind. So as the net gathered of every kind of living sea creature, so the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom to this world gathers of every kind of man. When Jesus called the disciples, he said to them, he'll make them to become fishers of men. We read this in Mark 1. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Christ makes his disciples to become fishers of men. And that's what we see a picture of in John 21, which we read earlier. In verse 6, Jesus said to the disciples when they were fishing to cast the net on the right side of the ship, and they shall find. And when the disciples did, the text goes on to tell us that they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. As the Lord did this, so he makes us fishers of men. The Lord says in Isaiah 55 verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The Lord makes us to become fishers of men, and without him we can do nothing, Jesus says in John 15. And when the gospel of the kingdom is preached, it gathers of every kind of man. All sorts come into it. And then in verse 48, the parable then says of the net, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down. When it was full, they drew to shore and sat down. Notice it's when it was full. As the kingdom of God is preached to the Gentiles, men press into it. They press into it. Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Like a net full of great fishes, men press into it. And so, the net being full, they drew to shore and sat down. And so it is. When the gospel of the kingdom has been preached in all the world, and of every kind of man gathered into it, then the end of the world shall come. And the parable therefore closes, speaking of every kind of living sea creature, saying, gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. And so Jesus, in his explanation of the parable, says, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so we see, as the good living sea creatures are gathered into vessels, but the bad cast away, so men that are just shall be glorified at the coming of Christ. But men that are wicked shall later be cast into hell. But notice something. It's the angels that come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. The angels will sever the wicked from among the just. They're all in the one net. They've all come in. The gospel of the kingdom has been preached. Every man presses into it. But it's a mix of the just and of the wicked. So, who are the just? Who are the just? Romans 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Who are the just? It is those that live by faith. Those that are believing upon Jesus. Those that live by faith in Jesus. A man is justified without the deeds of the law, we're told. We cannot just ourselves. We cannot be good enough for God. We cannot be good enough to go to heaven. It doesn't matter what nice things we do, what good deed we do, how nice we looked, how nice we were, giving money to someone who's poor. None of those things get us into heaven. Be not mistaken about it. It doesn't matter how much charity you do. It won't get you into heaven. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't even matter how many times you come to church or even read the Bible. It's faith. Faith. Faith from beginning to end. Faith to faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. Jesus is the one. He is the Saviour. He's not a Saviour for nothing. Who does he save? He saves bad people. He saves sinners. And sometimes those that are criminals in prisons come to Jesus sooner than some who think themselves to be good. Because at least criminals know they're bad and they need a Saviour. They need Jesus. They need to be saved from their sins. And very often when the gospel was preached in prisons, they know they're bad. We need that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So who are the just? Those that are believing upon Jesus. And as a result of believing, good works will result. You will do good things. You will do service for Jesus. You will do charity. But it's because you've been saved, not to be saved. That's the key difference. God saves us for service. So the just are those that believe from faith to faith. Who are the wicked? The wicked are they, though they're among the just, though they are amongst the just, bring forth no fruits worthy of repentance. There is no repentance. They bring forth no fruits worthy of repentance. They're called brothers. They're called Christians. But some are fornicators, covetous, idolaters, railers, drunkards, extortioners, and such ones. Jesus has come to save us from our sins. But the wicked are those that continue on willfully in it, with no intention of turning away from it. Very often in the scriptures, when you read of the wicked, it's not talking about those outside the church, but those in it professing to be part of it. Though it does, of course, also speak of those outside. And so that's why Paul says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. They profess that they know God, but the way they live is a denial of him. And so let's conclude, brethren. If we profess to know God and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, let us do what Paul says. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How? That Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. So let us examine ourselves. Peter says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should perish. And we also read in Ezekiel that the Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. That the wicked should turn from his way and live. The Lord doesn't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. And so I just want to ask you, have you come to repentance? Is there the fruit of repentance in your life? Are you turning away from those things that displease the Lord? Ask him, is there anything, Lord, in my life that's displeasing to you? Ask him and be willing, and he'll show you. And so I'll close with this passage in 2 Timothy, chapter 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen.